Hello and welcome to On The Box, the Geek Show's dedicated radio show for all things TV here on the Geek Show Podcast Network.
Yes, hello.
And I think I got it right perfect that time as well, didn't I?
Yes. I am Rob.
And I'm Andrew.
And I'm nobody.
You're nobody.
I'm nobody.
You're nobody.
I'm Andy.
You're Andy.
Yes. I'm Andy.
No, we've got to be nice to Andy today. I mean,
he has had some unfortunate news.
You know, we wish him and his family well. Mm-hmm. So Andy and family, wherever you are, you know, we're thinking of you in this difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Anyway, yes, that was Jordan, by the way, who is going to be playing the role of Owen. All I'm getting is evil looks and head shakes. And now nods. Anyway.
Be quiet, Lady Gaga.
That's racist. I went there. Have you noticed my first thing was racist and not sexist? Because I'm not sure if she's even human.
More on that story later.
To be fair, I'm just surprised that Lady Gaga poker face is actually like just your. It's awful. Like now all I can see is Lady Gaga's face just morphing into Rob's.
The other way around. Rob's face morphing Lady Gaga.
No. I just found it hilarious that
now. No, because Rob's face is her poker face.
Yeah. I just found it hilarious that nobody actually picked up on the fact that he's not talking about Lady Gaga. He's talking about Ladies Gaga.
Yes, Ladies Gaga.
Yeah, that's one hell of a poker face. Enough. We got news. Do you want me to kick off and kind of bookend it?
Yeah, go on then.
All right. And immediately I have to go Danger Will Robinson because Lost in Space is getting a TV reboot. How many people are happy about this?
Not many by the sounds of it.
Apprehensive.
Well, yeah, I am apprehensive because I saw the movie.
Yes, we had a Lost in Space reboot.
With Matt LeBlanc and Heather Graham.
It wasn't good.
Yeah, and have you noticed, I can't remember who the guy who plays the dad is. What's his name?
I don't know, it was like the main thing I remember is like the redesigned Robbie the Robot, so he looked like he was on steroids.
Yes, I know, it was like...
With like missile launchers and laser cannons and junk.
It was weird, because he was like Arnie from the Terminator in reverse, if that makes sense.
Sort of.
It was basically kind of, you know how Arnold Schwarzenegger is, you know, Mr. Beefcake, even though he's quite short.
Yeah.
He's a lot shorter in real life than people think, but he is huge and you could see him playing the role of kind of a killer machine. Hmm. But this was a killer machine trying to play the role of a human. No. Danger, Will Robinson.
Actually, I think I've worked out who I want to play Robbie the Robot in the Netflix series then. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, that would be amazing. Danger, Will Robinson.
Sounded nothing like him.
No, it didn't. I can't do an Arnie accent. I can say things like put the cookie
Will
down.
Robinson, danger. Yeah. That was worse than mine
because you were going danger.
But I tried, and that's what's important.
That was a weirdly Irish Schwarzenegger.
Is that what Arnie's like when he's drunk?
Danger, Will Robinson.
Puts a whole new twist on Terminator, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Although it does mean that now I've also worked out who I want to play the Leprechaun in my imagined Leprechaun reboot.
I know it's not me.
No, it's still Arnie.
Yes. Anyway, Netflix are the ones behind this. And I've got to say, I like Netflix and the fact that they're trying to do all sorts of new and innovative stuff. But then they kind of backslide a little bit and go, yes, let's bring back Lost in Space because that's a good idea.
It could work, who knows?
Well, Star Trek tried doing their version of Lost in Space and we ended up with Voyager.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See my point?
The thing is, do we actually need more reboots?
No.
I'd love to see, I mean, Netflix is fantastic because they are doing more original stuff.
Yes, they are.
And that's what we want. Yeah. We want more originality, right? Instead of saying, actually, we don't want this. Instead of, actually, no, we don't want to make this. What we'll do is we'll just bring that back.
That's my point.
I mean, we were talking about it earlier, about Hey Arnold.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, now this is a slight different tangent, but whatever.
Yeah, but just, hey, Arnold is maybe coming back, and it doesn't need to.
No, it doesn't. And I don't understand why you would want to bring it back. Okay, something like the Teletubbies, they were bringing that back, but this time instead of TVs, they have touch screens, which is all kinds of wrong.
No comment.
Yes, all kinds of wrong jokes waiting to happen there.
Yep.
And did happen.
Yes, and did happen. And we were responsible for some of them. Not all of them.
Only most of them.
No, maybe about 5 of them.
Yeah.
Notice I dropped some of the zeros from the end. Anyway, the Netflix remake of Lost in Space will follow a similar plot line, which is going to be written by Matt Sazama and Burke Sharpless.
Well, it's going to follow a similar plot line to Lost in Space.
Yes.
Well,
that last name's familiar.
No duh.
Yeah. Well, Burke Sharpless is one of those people who worked on Dracula Untold.
Mm.
And yes, we will not tell anything about that. That's why it remains untold.
What was Dracula Untold?
You don't want
not
to
know. Worth talking about. That's why it's called Dracula Untold.
I don't know. Ask a silly question.
So yes, there's not many details on who's going to be playing the roles in this, but I can pretty much guarantee one thing. It's going to be better than Voyager.
Yeah,
that's the only certainty I have about Lost in Space.
It's not saying much, but it's a definite certainty.
Yeah, it's literally. Oh, and no, it'll be better than Voyager, and it will be better than Stargate Universe.
Yes,
and it'll probably be better than the Lost in Space film.
Anything's better than that. Voyager was better than that.
Actually, yeah, I'm moving down the ladder instead of up a bit, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
It is strange. I mean, I'm on Netflix at the moment, right? And some of the stuff that Netflix have already released, one big one being at the moment is Jessica Jones.
Yes.
Which I'm sure someone will talk about. We'll
later.
Have more on that somewhere along the line.
Yes.
It's me.
But, I mean, other things, Better Call Saul.
Yes.
Which is that. Orange is the New Black. Daredevil is a Netflix original.
I never understood that phrase, you know, whatever color is the new black.
Orange is the new black.
No, whatever color. They always do it. The fashionistas always do it every year.
Yeah.
Brown is the new black. Blue is the new black. White is the new black. And I think it's
because the town say because everyone can wear black, not everyone can wear other colors.
Yeah, but
I think that's the thing way it is. Works. Why are we going on to a fashion tangent?
Surely black is the new black. That's why it's called black.
Yeah.
No, you see it now, all the emo kids walking down the street in their immaculate white suits.
Like something from A Clockwork Orange.
But
thing is, they would actually look more intimidating in white than black.
Yeah, like I'm thinking about now, it's actually kind of terrifying.
Yeah, they would actually look more terrifying in white than they would look in black.
But I mean, Netflix have a TV series of Richie Rich, right?
Yes.
They've also got stuff like Care Bears, and then there is the animation stuff. Puffin' Rock's got one on there. Stuff like that. So whether or not Netflix originals are possibly becoming the new source of TV.
Yeah.
Or whether or not Netflix are going to say, we're going through this phase, then we'll come up with new stuff. I mean, at the moment, they've got so many stuff. They've got more collaborations with Marvel coming out. One being Luke Cage, The Defenders, and Iron Fist.
Yeah, well, I think Iron Fist. Well, yeah, they've said Iron Fist is still a thing.
Yeah.
Yes.
But also maybe The Punisher as well. He might be getting his own series.
But The Defenders there, they've got stuff ready to come out in 2018. So Netflix are thinking well ahead of ideas that they want. So whether or not it's going to be one of them things that eventually everything will move slightly over to Netflix.
Ah, BBC. Why can't you take some inspiration?
But saying that, I mean, we're going to talk about the BBC Three very soon anyway, right? So whether or not BBC Three is going to become BBC's Netflix or not is another matter.
Okay, so Lost in Space is coming back. Yeah. We will watch this with equal degrees of hope and trepidation.
It's kind of with one eyebrow raised in a slightly skeptical fashion.
Ben Kingsley can do that perfectly.
No, Ben Kingsley needs a rest from TV.
He can do the perfect eyebrow movement that Andrew was talking about.
They put him in tut.
They did put him in
tut.
He needs a break. That man.
Why did you have to remind me, Rob?
Because he knows how much you love Tut.
I was happy.
Aww.
There's been so much good, positive work done by the therapist.
Just think of Jessica Jones.
Everything's happy again now.
Fair enough.
So, who's next?
John? I'll take it. BBC.
Will you?
BBC. Yes, I know that. BBC. How we all love mocking the BBC.
Okay.
Only because they bring it on themselves so much.
Oh, yeah. This is in regards of BBC Three. And BBC have confirmed that it will be going as a TV channel and will become a linear TV channel.
A linear TV channel?
Basically, it's coming online and online only.
Is it really?
Apparently so.
Yeah.
Has it been going to the wrong websites?
Yes. Yes.
BBC Three, now better known as Something Tube.
It will close as a channel in February next year.
Yes.
The online service will have a budget of £30 million.
That's not a lot for a TV.
No.
For a TV channel.
Of which about £6 million will go on short-form content.
Short-form content.
Mm.
So basically 30-second sketches of some guy going...
Yeah.
Great visual gag for our podcast.
Exactly.
Think of it this way, right? Whatever BBC One and BBC Two broadcast, it quite often went on to BBC Three as a rerun. Right? Or as a catch-up service.
Yeah.
They used to do it with Doctor Who, they do it with EastEnders, they do it with loads of stuff
Yeah,
like
but
Doctor
the
Who.
Thing is, they used to do some great comedy content, some amazing comedy stuff.
Yeah.
And then it kind of degenerated into, I don't know, goose-stepping sex and suspicious.
Are you saying that bad education isn't great comedy content?
Yes, I am. I'm saying exactly that.
Okay, good. I was double-checking because that's exactly what I was thinking.
I'm saying exactly that because Jack Whitehall is not funny. I'm sorry, but seriously, you know, that sausage roll joke, he's done it like, he does it pretty, it's like his one, you know how everybody has a party trick?
Yeah.
That sausage roll joke that Jack Whitehall does is like his party trick.
The move will contribute a significant savings the BBC is currently making. Another one being The Voice, which is rumoured to be going to ITV, which means ITV are going to have another possible talent show.
No. But here's the thing. ITV can afford it because they have advertising.
Yeah.
BBC can't because they don't have advertising.
Yeah.
And nobody really wants to pay the license fee. Because the content that basically you're not getting your money's worth.
You're not. BBC at the moment, right, are just churning out so much crap, it's unbelievable.
Yes.
And Chan, that might need a bleep, I'm not sure.
No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Is fine.
It's okay.
Crap is fine. Crap, 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 crap. BBC is churning out crap. Big piles of crap. It's like crap stock at the BBC. Seriously, there's just crap everywhere. It's gone everywhere. It's in the raccoon wounds.
So that's what the C stands for.
The BBC Trust justifies its decision by stating that younger audiences are watching more online and watching less linear TV.
If they're watching less linear TV, then why the hell are you changing BBC Three into a linear TV channel?
Yeah. Right? The thing is...
I am confused.
The thing is, BBC iPlayer, right, with BBC Three, was getting very few things coming through onto iPlayer.
Yeah.
Main things that people used to watch on BBC Three was Family Guy and American Dad.
Russell Howard's Good News.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the thing is,
that's like on BBC One or Two now, isn't it?
It's coming on BBC Two, yeah. Right, now it's the thing. The BBC Trust implemented two conditions for the broadcaster. First, all BBC Three long-form content will be transmitted on BBC One and BBC Two. So stuff like Russell Howard will be doing it. Family Guy, we already know, is going over YTV. Second, BBC One and BBC Two should be obliged to take creative risks and regularly experiment with new talent and ideas as part of the license agreements.
Those are the magic words you want to hear.
Right?
Agreed.
The question being, right, is the BBC should be obliged to do it. The question being, right, is will they?
See,
will they make BBC Three, basically, which is going to be an online show channel now, will they make that as a safeguard?
Here's the thing, right? BBC is run by a director general, yeah? Who's the current director general?
Tony Hall, isn't it?
Is it still Tony Hall?
Yeah, it still is Tony-ness.
Is he still doing his pro-apologising?
For the moment.
Most likely.
I seriously want that to be a game on, like, the PS4. Tony Hall's pro-apologising. You know how the Japanese do the dogeza, where they press their hands to the floor and bow their head?
What's Tony Hall doing that?
You should be. It'll be like a cross between Tony Hawk's pro skater and Tony Hall's pro. Tony Hall's pro apologizing. You can basically jump in the air and do all sorts of somersaults and all sorts of weird backflips and stuff. But you have to end up in that position.
So I just can't wait till they release the one with motion controls.
Yes, it would be an amazing game. BBC, you should make this game. People will buy it.
Quickly shake the Wii remote harder to cry more tears of sadness.
Yes.
The controller for BBC Three said, today is just the beginning for BBC Three and our plans to transform our offer for young people. We have lots of new content coming in 2016 and exciting new ways of delivering it in development. We will now be set launching a digital first BBC Three with in early 2016.
Right. Just coming back to the director general bit for a second, right?
Oh, we're not done making fun of Tony Hall yet.
No, we're not done with that. But actually, no, we are kind of done with that. There's just a point I want to make, right? They're called the leader of the BBC, the director general, right? So why the hell isn't it an actual general who knows how to direct?
Because I'm not sure how much that helps in TV programming, Rob.
Well, I mean, they called it a director general, which means it runs on kind of militaristic lines. Otherwise, why have a general in the first place? Could you not just call them the chief executive instead if it was a normal business? But no.
Well, maybe, so, but maybe he's the general director. Like, he's the director of general things. And, like, one of the memos got a bit mixed up.
Yeah, true. But I think they should just have an actual general, you know, with a big handlebar moustache and, a little baton. He can't have a big field marshal's baton yet because he's not a field marshal yet. Should have a little baton. He just wanders round, you know, and everybody has to salute him as he passes.
Do you perchance watch too many war films, Rob?
Possibly.
I think that's what it is.
I think it's starting to leak into your everyday life now.
Either that or I've been watching it at half up mum for a while. And I've just got Captain Mannering on the brain.
That is exactly who I pictured when you said.
Exactly, that's who I thought as well. Sa. Anyway, yes, I like the fact that they're trying to push new content. And they're trying to put more funding into new content.
That is a very good idea. I mean,
what, has an actual general?
No,
I was gonna say
they're pushing the extra content stuff.
I mean, it is a great idea.
This is £30 million going to this new channel, right?
Yeah, but a new channel,
six million of which is going on short form content. That's still £24 million to go on new stuff that the BBC could actually plan and do.
Yeah, but this is the main problem you've got is that when you give people money and they've been used to doing things a certain way, they'll automatically fall back on doing things a certain way because that's what they're comfortable with. Hmm. If you're going to try and push a channel along new and exciting avenues, you need to bring new and exciting people in. You need to stipulate categorically that this is basically what they are doing. And you basically make it very clear that they want to be doing this and this and this, and that Son, Sex and Suspicious Parents is not what's needed. Because please get rid of that show and any variations of that show. It doesn't paint humans in a good light, seriously.
To be fair, humanity doesn't paint humans in a very good light.
Oh, yeah, but can you imagine if aliens...
It's one of them things as well, right? Like I'm said, they used to use BBC Three as catch-up service for basically BBC One, BBC Two. Now, with iPlayer, you can still do all that. But don't forget, quite often, if I'm mistaken, I think it's 75% of the British audience watch BBC, and only something like 20% of them don't have the internet.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the idea for that was BBC Three was basically the catch-up service that they needed if they miss a show. Right? EastEnders done it, Doctor Who done it, there's countless other shows.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Mock the Week used to do it all the time. Russell Howard.
Yes.
Right, which was basically a BBC Three original.
Yes.
If I'm mistaken. Then it went to Comedy Central.
No.
BBC.
BBC Two it went to. From BBC Three it went to BBC Two.
But it was Comedy Central. Comedy Central do the reruns for it then as well.
So did, actually, do they?
Comedy Central have Russell Howard's going to use on.
Okay. So, oh no, Mock the Week is the one on Dave, isn't it?
Yeah. It's one of the endless repeats on
But Dave. It's on Dave as well.
Yeah.
So.
Okay.
But it's one of them things that, what are BBC going to do with the stuff that people miss? Because what they're going to do is just bombard BBC 4, right, and have the same issue.
I assume they'll shove it on iPlayer.
No, they'll shove it on iPlayer, but also what they'll do, they'll basically find slots on BBC 1 and BBC 2. And they may just launch a channel in the middle called BBC 2.5.
Well, that'd be the other point though. What's the point in getting rid of one channel to replace it?
Yeah, plus I think just the entire concept of like a catch-up channel is a bit outdated now.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, we have every single channel has a plus one, apart from the BBC where you get the iPlayer.
Yeah, but you don't need pretty much every single channel also has like a catch-up service now as well. The thing is,
you don't need a plus one when you've got iPlayer. And I've got to say, if you put iPlayer against 4OD or whatever, Demand 5 or whatever the ITV one is.
ITV. No, because ITV Player's gone now. It's ITV Hub.
ITV Hub. Or whatever it's called. You know, if you put iPlayer against those, iPlayer is easily better in terms of its functionality and the speed at which it can actually stream the shows.
Yeah.
It's way, way better. You don't need a plus one service. The other channels, yeah, okay, they have a plus one service, but it's a waste of money for BBC to have a plus one channel. Anyway, shall we leave that there and move on?
Yes.
I think we should.
So, Amazon, they are adapting a series of The Man in the High Castle by Philip K. Dick.
Really?
Amazon? Yes.
Yeah, Amazon. They're doing like a lot of video originals now.
Isn't that the Nazi one?
Yeah, the one where basically Nazis and Japan win World War II and take over America.
Oh, I've seen the trailer for that.
And Amazon have decided to promote it with a not well thought out advertising campaign.
Okay.
Yeah. So basically, they've gone on subways in America and they've painted the seats, one with kind of the big Imperial Japanese flag and another with the American flag. But, you know, with the 50 state stars replaced by just the eagle and the Iron Cross.
I thought it was a white swastika.
No, it's not.
No, they wouldn't.
They wouldn't go that far.
They would not be that stupid.
Because that's the flag they use in the show, so that's where my mind went.
But they're not going to like just paint a giant swastika.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Here's the thing, you know, the whole swastika. You know, the correct swastika is actually what the Nazis used was actually a reversed version of the swastika, and the swastika actually is basically that symbol, but with dots in each of the gaps.
Yes. Wasn't it similar to a symbol for good luck or something?
Basically, yeah.
But anyway, yeah, still, the stuff they've put on, it's been considered really offensive.
Well, that's a surprise.
Nazi symbolism.
Yeah.
And they've pretty much had to take it down now because, of course, they have.
Yes.
Like, you should need the Anti-Defamation League to have to come in and say, don't put this Nazi symbolism on the subway. That's a bad thing to do, Amazon.
Yes.
Yes, definitely. Not paying tax is also a bad thing.
Yeah, but we won't go there.
Yeah, we're not going
we'll just stick with their marketing departments. There. Yeah, we'll stick with their marketing department. I hope whoever thought up that idea
has been super fired.
Or is standing in the corner permanently.
With a huge guns hat.
Yes.
Can you imagine that at every board, at every marketing meeting from now on, he's told to go stand in the corner. Just
everyone walks in like that and just looks at him like that, just gives him disgusted looks going.
It's like they'll be in the middle of the meetings and he'll probably go, oh, actually, is that Jeremy? Did you have something to say? No.
I was imagining with Derek.
That would be worse than getting fired, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Being kept on staff, but permanently made to stand in the corner.
You'll be a warning to all.
Yes. More companies should do this. Seriously, it's a winning formula. Staff would actually work harder. Can you imagine?
Maybe make an official staff naughty step as well.
Yes.
Oh, wow, yes.
They're not allowed the mobile phone or anything. They just have to sit on the step.
Yeah. A timeout step. A timeout chair. Yes. Sat in a board meeting like that. You, get in the chair.
Yeah, the chair's just facing the corner. There's nothing interesting in the corner. They end up trying to count like motes of dust in the light or, you know, lines on the carpet just to keep the mind active. Oh, why don't more companies do this?
Bear in mind, their meetings must go on for like 5 hours. Like, I just sat in this corner going, oh, I'm bored now.
You can hear all the fun. It'd be like a party in the background.
The worst thing would probably be if you sat there on your own, just mind wander, then you actually come up with a generally good idea. I've actually got one. No, you don't. Just turn around. Aww.
Could be worse. Imagine making them sit in like a glass room like that, always just stairs into the meeting room.
Ground floor meeting room. right? Ground floor meeting room with the window extended out into the pavement a little, and the corner is right there. So he's perpetually looking out at the crowd, and you basically paint on the outside, you paint on the outside of the window so that they can't see it from the inside. You paint on the outside of the window.
So it just looks like a mirror.
Yeah. So it just looks like a mirror. So he or she is looking out and thinking, oh, I can count the crowd, but the crowd is stopping and laughing at them and pointing and laughing. You know, and it just says on the outside, this person screwed up big time. So we put them in the naughty corner.
That's genius.
Wow.
And they're sitting there and they're going, you know, they might be waving to people thinking that the people can see them. And it's like, yeah, the people can see you. And they can also read the sign. We fixed every company on the planet.
We have fixed every single company.
We have fixed every company on the planet. So company owners, you know, it's our idea, not yours.
We will trial it here.
Yes.
Andrew, get in the corner.
No, you get in the corner.
You get it. Rob, get in the corner.
Excuse me?
Well, John did say he likes to take it.
We're not going there. Anyway, no, yes.
That is the different corner.
Yes. Anyway, the man in the high castle, I'm looking forward to seeing
yes.
this.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be, I think it's a good, if poorly advertised series.
Yes. Yes, it is.
Shall we move on?
Yes. Moving on to Giant Worms Underground.
Oh, naturally.
As in the Human Centipede?
No.
Oh.
That's not a giant worm underground, is it?
That's just an abomination of a series.
That's just wrong.
Yeah, this is more like my last doctor's appointment.
Yeah. Yes, apparently Kevin Bacon has worms.
That's surprising.
Oh, no, actually, no, he wants worms. Kevin Bacon has signed on to star and executive produce a television series adaptation of Tremors. Now, I'll admit, I've got a real soft spot for the original Tremors movie.
I've got to admit, I know this is probably going to be terrible, but as soon as I saw that story, just something came out of my mouth. Just like, yay, Tremors.
Yeah. You know,
with the little hand clap.
Yeah, it's based on the 1990 film, and Bacon's going to reprise his role as Valentine McKee.
Awesome name.
I'm just pausing while my brain just processes that name. Valentine McKee. 25 years later, he will also serve as an executive producer. Oh my God. I've just realized what this is going to do. This is going to be Ash versus the Evil Dead, but with grabbers or graboids or whatever they are.
Oh, you're making me excited.
They're going to be chasing Kevin Bacon all across America.
Oh, I think I'm going to have to go in the corner.
And there'll be a queen graboid or whatever it is, which will be bigger than the rest.
Nope. Too late. I can't make it to the corner.
Right, there's no network attached to the Tremors remake, which hails from the NBC Universal-based Universal Cable Productions and Blumhouse Productions, but insiders have said that multiple venues are hot on the project, and Andrew Miller is going to pen the script. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to this one. But, yeah.
I think this is going to be like the one Andrew was talking about. It's going to be we're going to watch this one with basically bated breath.
Which one was Andrew talking about for bated breath? Andrew,
what,
go.
What are you talking about, John?
I'm trying to think of the show you were talking about.
The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah.
Yes. Actually, I honestly think that it's going to be going to have more to do with Ash versus the Evil Dead. Book of the Dead and various magic spells and stuff like that.
More like in excitement levels.
Yeah.
In excitement levels and maybe chainsaws as well. Pile drivers. Cranes are good.
God, I need to watch Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
Have you not seen it yet?
No, I've had too much of the stuff on.
It's not on Netflix, which is upset me.
You need to watch Ash vs. the Evil Dead.
I know I need
Dead.
To watch it, but I have a course now, Rob. I need to actually work and study.
You have a purpose. You have a purpose in life.
Also, more importantly, I have Jessica Jones to watch.
Exactly.
Yes, and he has loads of comics to read.
I do have so many comics to read.
Yes, an entire website full of comics.
Yeah. But technically two websites full of comics.
Yes. Anyway, right. That was the news.
I have one quick I would like to bring up.
Oh?
If I may.
Go.
I'm just going to be very quick about it and just get it over and done with, like when you're pulling the plaster off a wound. Riddick, we all know the Riddick universe, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. That is getting its own spin-off TV series.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, it's called Merc City, and it's more based around the bounty hunters and the mercenaries of the Riddick universe.
Yeah, I heard about this, and to be honest, I kind of understand why they're doing it, but I also don't think it's going to be that good without Vin Diesel, because
no.
one of the big draws of Pitch Black and the Chronicles of Riddick and whatever else was the fact that Vin Diesel was in it.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's like the entire reason I watched those films
is because Vin Diesel's in it. Yeah. If you take Vin Diesel out and you don't have a Riddick thing, you just have a sci-fi with a bunch of generally no-name actors who are running around in a, you know, shouting semi-science fiction type dialogue.
Yeah.
You know, with semi-cocked weapons and semis.
Now, I'm not quite sure what the level of Vin Diesel's involvement will be, whether he'll be a producer, whether he's whatever, but if he's going to stay attached to it, there's every possibility he could be in something like a season finale or something.
Yeah, but then again, they're basically doing the Limitless.
Is it going to be a prequel to the actual films?
I'm not quite sure.
Just like a complete different spin-off.
They're basically doing a Limitless.
Yeah.
They're basically doing a Limitless. You know the guy who was in the Limitless movie?
Bradley Cooper.
Bradley Cooper. He appeared in, I think, the first episode of Limitless and then...
Disappeared.
And that's probably what they're going to do here. He's going to have...
If Vin Diesel even makes an appearance in it.
You're going to have Vin Diesel possibly in the first episode going, what was it called? Merc City or whatever?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Welcome to Merc City. Blah, 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 blah. Little voiceover, little cameo, and then it'll be Bounty Hunters. And then it'll be, yeah. But the thing that makes those movies work is literally the fact that Riddick can see in the dark and he's a badass.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah, that's basically it. So I don't honestly see how this is actually going to be any better than, say, Power Rangers SPD.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but that's kind of how I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking the same way. I will keep an eye out on information, find out what other developments there will be, but if it doesn't have,
if it doesn't have Vin Diesel in, I'm not interested.
That's very true. I don't see Vin Diesel, even if he's a producer, making regular appearances in a TV show.
If it has somebody as good as Vin Diesel in, I might watch it. Yeah. If it has somebody who can be a good replacement for Vin Diesel in terms of
is it strange, right? That the movie's getting another sequel. Right, considering the franchise already pulled out $267 million in total.
The movie's getting another sequel.
There is a new
There's going to be another Riddick movie.
Riddick 4 and the TV series.
Riddick 4, is that all they're calling it? Riddick 4?
At the moment, yeah.
Well, I think like the newest one was just called Riddick, because titles are hard.
Yes. So they went from Pitch Black, which was a great title, to The Chronicles of Riddick, which... was just kind of, they turned him into Conan.
Yeah.
Space
really
Conan.
Did.
He was Space Conan.
Yeah, yeah, that is exactly what he's become. He's Space Conan.
And then they did Riddick, which is just kind of him going commando and back to basics.
Yeah, and crushing his enemies and hearing the lamentations of the women.
Which is exactly what he got.
Yes.
And now they're going to do Riddick 4. So I reckon Riddick 4 is going to be Cole the Conqueror.
Yeah.
Oh no.
It's kind of the same kind of imagination for titles they have in the Fast and Furious franchise.
Have you seen Cole the Conqueror?
No.
Kevin Sorbo Cole the Conqueror, wasn't it?
Yeah. Cole the Conqueror was Kevin Sorbo's barbarian epic. It's just kind of him reprising his role as Hercules, only with far fewer clothes. And
a weird throwing star thing.
Yes. Yeah, and a weird... No, that was Krull. Cull the Conqueror was Kevin Sorbo with a lot less clothes going to chilly climbs, you know, going into icy regions, because that's not going to affect his nipples at all. So, yes. Anyway, yes. I reckon Riddick 4, there's a danger it's going to end up as camp and as ridiculous as Cull the Conqueror.
You say that like that's not a film I want to watch with all of my wanting.
Shall we take a quick break before moving on?
Yes, we'll take a quick break for this message, and we'll be back with what we've been watching.
Hello, Do you like films? Well, wow, that's good. We're over the first hurdle. If you like films and you also like podcasts, you should probably check out the Geek Show's only dedicated movie podcast, Cinema Eclectica. Well-staffed with a trained array of helper monkeys, we review all of the latest films every week and do it reasonably well.
Hello and welcome back to On The Box on the Geek Show Podcast Network. We are now at the section that we lovingly called What Have We Been Watching?
Yes.
I shall hand over to Jordan.
Yes.
I've been watching documentary, and that in itself is a big surprise.
No, it isn't.
It's not really, is it?
No. You watch a ton of documentaries.
Yeah. I love my documentaries. This one is called The Battle of Chernobyl.
The Battle of Chernobyl?
Yeah.
There was no Battle of Chernobyl.
Technically, no, but there is at the same time.
Okay.
Right. Everyone's familiar with what Chernobyl is, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yep, the big nuclear disaster.
Yeah.
Yep.
For those who aren't, Chernobyl is the world's worst nuclear disaster. April 1986, there was the big, massive nuclear explosion.
I remember this, because I remember the news articles. Everybody in the country was actually terrified of nuclear fallout heading over here.
Yeah. And the nuclear cloud could have went absolutely everywhere. And it reached parts of America, it reached parts of Asia, everything like that. The Battle of Chernobyl is what actually happened within the perimeter. Once Pripyat in the Ukraine had been evacuated, it was basically what they'd done inside the facility, basically to actually neutralize and counteract all the waste radioactivity that was actually happening. So it's one of them ones where they actually were talking to people who lived in the town at the time, those who actually went out on basically the front line to fight against this. So it's stuff like that. They actually had news reporters who were reporting it at the exact moment in time for the next morning.
Yeah.
On about what was all happening like that. So it does go through some brilliant detail into what actually happened, how it happened, why it happened, and everything else since it. So it's one of them things that it's a really gripping documentary when you read it. It's on for about an hour and a half. So it's one of them things that if you're not interested in it, still give it a quick look over. And because they use archive footage from it all. They've got archive footage, they've got up-to-date footage of it all. So it's one of them things that it bounces between past and present. So it's one of them things that it's well worth a watch.
Okay, cool.
All right, well, I guess that's my turn then, and I'm going to talk about the latest episode of Doctor Who.
Okay.
And I don't even know where to begin.
Oh, is this the one with the alleyway?
Things happen.
Yes.
Is this the one where he got taken behind the bins?
I'll admit, Ryan, see, I've not watched.
He literally did.
He actually kind of did get,
He got totally taken behind the bins in this episode.
Him, Clara, and another person.
I'll openly admit and say I've not watched any of the series yet. Right?
No. We kind of know. Well,
the thing is, Facebook and Twitter ruins it anyway. So yeah, I know all the stuff that's happened.
I know. I watched it. You know, I was just kind of channel hopping, and I sat down. And it was on. And I was like, oh, okay, I might as well. And little did I know, it's like, yeah, Peter Capaldi, you know, the Doctor is about to get. What's her name?
Clara.
Astrid.
Arya Stark.
Arya Stark, yeah.
Yes.
A little did I know that Arya Stark was about to have the Doctor behind the bins and have a wicked way with him. And, oh, wow. She got nasty when she went to join the Assassins.
Really?
And it really shows.
Wow, she was... Maisie Williams.
There were dragons and Khaleesi's and everything.
Is Clara gone yet? Has Clara gone or is she still in?
It's kind of, the internet knows about it. Yeah. Everybody knows about it.
Everyone knows she's gone. She has gone now.
She's gone. Yes.
Right.
She's gone in kind of the most final way possible.
She's definitely gone.
Definitely, I think a better way, much better than the way they got rid of, Rose left, much better than the way Donna left. It was, the way they did it was absolutely superb.
I wouldn't say that.
Oh, well, I wouldn't say that. What did they do like?
Can
we say what happened, or is that too much of a spoiler?
By the time the show goes out, anyway,
it's fine. The world pretty much knows what happened.
Yeah. Well, I think I should really go start from sort of the beginning anyway and kind of.
Well,
work
I wouldn't. The thing is,
well, I'm not going to dwell
what
too
I do
much.
Is just what I do is just say this. Okay, actually, do you want me to explain this and then you pick
yeah,
up from that?
Yeah, go for it.
Because
yeah.
I think I can shorten this down without actually giving away too much in spoilers. Right. Yep. Basically, there's an alleyway in London, and one of Clara's friends gets accused of murdering somebody, and only. It's not the case. And this, her friend has this thing, which is basically in the form of a raven that chases its victims down and kills them. It's yes. Quantum Shade or whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Anyway, they're told you can't run away from it. All you can do is pass it on to somebody else who's willing to accept it. Clara, not paying attention, takes it off her friend. That yeah. sounds wrong, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
But it turns out the whole thing is one big ploy.
It's not so much that she's not paying attention.
She doesn't think about it.
Oh. No, well, she assumes that if I take it, we'll find a way to stop it at some point, it'll all be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there is a kind of bigger thing
at
play.
The thing is,
anyway.
It is all, the whole thing is one big ploy.
Yeah.
It's all one big plot by somebody else. And Arya Stark, Macy Williams, is it?
Yeah,
or
yeah,
Macy, it is.
Williams.
Macy
Williams.
Macy Williams. She is, yeah, the doctor ain't happy with her.
I think
he makes it very, very, but this is the closest I've seen Peter Capaldi come to Christopher Eccleston's
yeah.
doctor.
Yeah, he was channeling a bit of the Eccleston there.
And right. I thought that this is one of the better episodes I've seen
yeah,
for a while.
Definitely, yeah, that's
yeah,
what I thought.
Without a doubt.
It's the doctor losing that person that sort of brought him together. And
well, no, because the person who brought him together was Rose Tyler.
It's what I'm thinking is like yeah. the Capaldi doctor, so
yeah,
it kind of brought him back from that dark place. But yeah, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
he delivered quite possibly one of my absolute favorite lines. I really want to. It's the line he delivered was.
You have to do it with the passion of Capaldi.
With the
Capaldi.
Channel the Capaldi.
Channel your inner
Capaldi.
Yes.
No, because then I'll end up swearing.
Bearing in mind, Andrew almost got taken by Peter Capaldi, yeah.
Did he?
when he was on the phone, it was.
Yes, and the
when
mysterious
the
voice of Peter Capaldi was echoing
oh, God,
throughout
yes,
the whole
yes, yes, yes.
Oh, God.
It's because we said his name twice.
But yeah, the line was absolutely superb. I loved it. He just turns to Mr. Williams and said, "It's a very small universe when I'm angry with you." I love that line. So it brings that.
Yeah. The fact is that the damage is already done.
Yeah.
And what I liked was the fact that finally, there was somebody that the doctor couldn't save.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Somebody close to him.
Who straight up died.
Yeah, God. Right in front of him.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but in all fairness, Amy and Rory do.
No, Amy and Rory don't, not in front of him. Amy and Rory end up in the past and die in the past. He just sees their graves.
Yeah.
It's one thing to see their graves.
Yeah.
It's another thing to actually see them die right
yeah.
in front
yeah.
of you.
I know what you mean.
And
then.
Know there is nothing you can do to save yeah. them. It's like what happened with, what's her face? Catherine Tate's character.
Donna Noble. Yeah.
Yeah,
Noble.
Yeah.
That's what I was
Donna
thinking.
Noble
yeah.
was basically, her brain was basically short circuiting because of all the information. So he had to wipe all those,
yeah.
you know, well, or conceal all those memories.
Yeah. Lock it away.
The one who I thought left in probably the best way was, what's
Martha
her name?
Jones.
Martha Jones.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. I'd love to see her come back.
Cause Martha Jones.
She proves like she doesn't need the doctor.
Yeah. yeah.
And that was the coolest thing about where when you watch it with Rose was one of the ones where she loved him but couldn't tell him.
Yeah.
The doctor then started having feelings for Rose, which made it really complicated.
Oh,
yeah. Martha came along and Martha being Martha proves that she doesn't need the doctor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She only considered the doctor as a friend. Whereas all the other times out the doctors ask the companions. In this case, Martha never, right? Basically, Martha came along. And then instead of the characters dying off like that, Martha said she doesn't want to travel with the doctor because there's so much more stuff she wants to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thing is, Donna was one of the doctor's best friends, effectively. Yeah.
Mm.
And so there was that whole kind of buddy thing going on there. And then you had Amy and Rory. And Amy and Rory brought a different thing to it because they were very clearly a couple and the Doctor was kind of the third wheel.
Yeah.
You know, they were...
Although the beginning part of Series 5, when Matt Smith takes over, it feels like Rory's the third wheel. And then throughout it changes back into the Doctor being the third wheel, which is a great little turn on it.
Yeah, and you're right. You're exactly right.
Yeah, a great little turn on the wheel.
Oh, God.
I wasn't even trying on that one.
Anyway.
Clearly.
I wasn't too sure how this Clara was going to turn out, but for the most part, she's been kind of meh, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
Except for her initial entry.
I haven't really been a fan.
You know, after her initial entry into the Doctor Who universe.
It's the Impossible Girl.
The Impossible Girl and stuff like that. And after all that, when the Richard E. Grant Christmas stuff and everything like that, after that, I was just kind of...
See, I actually liked her better after all that stuff, because all that stuff was like, oh, she's so special, and isn't she great, and oh, Clara fixes everything. Mm. Clara, 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 Clara.
Yeah, I know, but it's just kind of... The Richard E. Grant Christmas special one, that was fine, because you hadn't got all that Impossible Girl bit yet.
Yeah.
All she was the Victorian maid, the Victorian governess.
The Christmas special. Yeah. I was thinking of the...
50th anniversary is what you're thinking of with the three Doctors.
No, the series finale one with Richard E. Grant again.
It's the one where they're going to... it's the name of the Doctor.
She does all that stupid traveling back to the Doctor's life nonsense.
Oh, that was after they got the new Clara, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one I didn't like. I liked the one with the governess. Where she was just a governess.
Oh, that was... I mean,
that Christmas special was fantastic.
Well, except for the bit where, like, she cries and her tears magically fix everything because... whatever.
It wasn't her tears. It's not her tears that do it. It's the family's tears.
That doesn't make it less stupid.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? It's the entire family that's crying.
I'm sorry.
It still makes it dumb.
That is on the level of a Pokemon's tears can cure petrification.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I'm glad someone else...
I remember that.
Yeah.
Anyway,
no one can forget
Doctor Who.
I was so happy that Ash Ketchum had finally died and then he got better.
Anyway, Doctor Who. Let's have a quick finish up on that one.
The next episode, the new episode which comes this weekend, I think is going to be one of Peter
Capaldi's
best.
I saw Scaly Hands in that one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Maybe they need some Vaseline or some kind of... You know, what was that? What was that hand cream that they give to sailors on the North Sea? It's that really rugged hand cream. It's got like sand and stuff like that.
I don't know.
Yeah, because we look like the rugged kind.
Have you just been talking to strange men down the docks again, Rob?
Yes.
But
anyway.
Yeah, I definitely think the coming episode is going to be Peter Capaldi's... The upcoming episode is going to be one of Peter Capaldi's best.
Don't jinx it, because it might not be. I have seen this countless times in Doctor Who. They have a great episode, and the next episode is an absolute duffer.
Yep.
Okay. I retract my statement. I'm hoping.
Yes. Hope is a good thing.
Yes.
Hope is good.
We need more hope.
Yes. Anyway, moving on to Andrew.
Yes. I've been watching Jessica Jones and oh my God, guys, it's incredible. Like, it's so good.
It really?
I've not started watching it yet.
Do you know, this is how good Jessica Jones is, right? Just to give you an example, Andrew, when he said, oh my God, it's so good, had to grab the mic stand.
I did.
Yeah,
to keep
did,
himself
actually.
Upright.
I've got too much excitement. So, Jessica Jones.
And he's still gripping it for dear life.
I'm not sure I can, you know, stay upright through all of this. So, Jessica Jones, it's very different from your usual superhero drama. Oh. Basically, Jessica Jones, she is a woman who was a superhero until she met a guy called Kilgrave, who can take control of people's minds.
Isn't that David Tennant's character?
Yeah, David Tennant. And just whatever he says, you want to do it.
Yeah.
And basically, she got made to do some pretty nasty stuff.
Damn.
And now she's quit being a hero, and she's just this super traumatized private detective. Like, she basically spends her days private detectiving and then just drinking herself to sleep with a bottle of whiskey.
That makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sounds like a normal Friday night for Scott,
sounds like my Fridays.
Oh, well, so it's Friday night then.
Yeah.
But yeah, so basically she thought that Kilgrave was dead, but then she finds out he's back and, you know, she decides it's up to her to stop him. Like, even though she really... Well, like, pretty much her first reaction when she finds out he's alive is just pack a bag and run out. And like, she's pretty much just running halfway down the street when she realizes, no, I've got to stop him. Because I think it's okay to spoil this because, like, it's kind of part of the main plot of the series.
Mm.
Basically, a girl she was helping, this young girl who had gone missing and been kidnapped by Kilgrave, she finds her, gets her back to her parents, and then she pulls out a gun and shoots both her parents dead because that's what Kilgrave told her to do.
Yep. That's the girl, not Jessica Jones.
The girl she was helping. It's super dark. Probably even darker than Daredevil, and that was pretty gosh darn dark.
That was kind of the point where Jessica Jones actually did decide, I have to stop him because...
She can't allow any, that kind of thing to happen to anyone else. No. And she has to prove that the girl is innocent.
Yeah. I mean, I watched the first episode of it and, my God, I just could not look away. I was just transfixed. It was like something had told me just to watch it and not move.
I see what you're doing.
Yay.
But yeah, the performances are so good. Like, Kristen Ritter. But when she was cast as Jessica Jones, I was a bit skeptical. But my God, she has owned that part.
Yeah. It's kind of weird now that now doctors are kind of turning bad. I mean, you had Christopher Eccleston playing Macleth in Thor 2.
Oh, yeah. Now you've got David Tennant.
Yes, Purple Man. So, what the hell?
Yeah, so like... Marvel Phase 3, Matt Smith has got to appear as some kind of evil.
Matt Smith has already been Skynet.
No, not Matt Smith. We could have John Hurt as a Marvel villain.
Yes.
Who could he be, though? Who could he be? Who could he be? Evil Santa Claus? No.
Kronos?
No,
Kronos is DC.
Yeah.
Got my universes mixed up again. I do apologize.
It's not the first time it's happened, though.
Yeah. No,
I do it all the time. I'll wake up in the morning and think, am I in universe A or universe B today?
Is this Earth Prime or is this Earth 625?
I prefer 625. Oh, dear.
It's one where everyone's leaning a little bit towards the left. Hey, it could be true. Nobody knows. You prove me wrong right now. Go on, prove me wrong right now.
Well, it's all right, because I lean a little bit towards the right anyway, so at least I'll be straight.
Is it weird that everything that you've...
Oh, that's a good one.
Moving on, rather quickly.
But yeah, Jessica Jones, it's just like this incredible sort of neo-noir thriller. And actually, it's really been kind of weird that, like, we've got a situation now where parents can, like, go out with the whole family to watch Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then you've got Jessica Jones, which is set in the same universe, but, like, you couldn't show that to a child.
No, God, no. No. I think that's also the good thing about Netflix kind of taking this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's interesting that they can appeal to, like, a diverse audience.
Yeah.
It's not just that kind of 15 to 30 demographic.
No, I mean, that's obviously what the films are trying to aim towards to raise the money, but the money's already going to be there anyway, so, because of the subscription, so they can make it that bit more, that grittier, that...
Yeah, yeah, they can take bigger risks with it.
Oh, yeah.
And have such amazing payoffs.
I'll tell you something, right? One of the things that makes me really, really happy is the fact that TV is not doing what Hollywood is doing. And enough with...
Ripping everybody off.
No. Enough with the PG-13 versions of 18-rated movies.
All right, okay, yeah.
Oh, yeah, God. TV does not have a problem with going for, like, the full 18.
Yes.
Which actually reminds me, one of, like, my favorite scenes is probably Jessica Jones hooks up with Luke Cage.
Yes!
Who has unbreakable skin.
Thing is...
And they break the bed.
Yeah, we know that in the comics, and I'm hoping that they develop the relationship in the series.
Oh, they almost definitely are.
Yeah, because in the comics, they're married, and they've got a kid.
Yeah, they're married, they have a kid.
Yeah, so I hope they do develop the relationship, because one of the things about Jessica Jones' character in the comics, Luke Cage was actually the one who really did save her.
Yeah, and yeah. I think that's definitely the same route they're going down in this.
I really want them to go down that route. I think that if they try and change that relationship, I think there will be an outcry from fans.
What about a spin-off of Luke Cage then?
Yeah, he is getting his own spin-off.
He's getting his own spin-off, and they announced the female gang boss from the Luke Cage series. I think they already announced her.
Yeah, they did a while ago, but I can't remember that.
Yeah.
But you know what I can remember?
What?
That David Tennant is an incredible actor.
Oh, yes.
He is. Very underrated as well.
Yeah. I love seeing him be a villain, because like, it's not what he's done that much before.
I reckon, right? And I have this thing. You can only really tell how good an actor is in the kind of niche acting world that we deal with, because our acting knowledge isn't as diverse as somebody who's really au fait with movies and TV.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who's been watching movies and TV for years. But David Tennant and others like him say the characters who played the Doctor, for example, the actors who played the Doctor, aside from John Hurt, who we'll put to one side, right? Because John Hurt is just John Hurt.
Yeah, we'll put him just on the top of the plinth where he belongs.
Yes.
Exactly.
Christopher Eccleston plays a great bad guy.
Yes, he does.
Yes.
You know? But he actually played a great bad guy while playing the Doctor.
Yeah, because like he was the mean Doctor.
Yeah. David Tennant plays a great bad guy. Matt Smith, haven't seen him play a good bad guy because he hasn't had a good bad guy role to play. The most he had was Skynet.
Yeah, which...
He was a psycho in some weird movie before he did the Doctor, but after, you know, post-Doctor, he's been Skynet, and that's kind of, it's just the, you know, English guy, it's just an English guy playing a bad guy, so what? I want to see him play a better role.
Yeah.
Don't forget, though, Christopher Eccleston also played a villain before he played Doctor.
Yeah, but...
Because he was in Gone in 60 Seconds.
Yeah, but he wasn't
that good. It wasn't classed as a villain like that, right? But I still think he'd done a great role.
I thought it
was a great role for him in that.
I thought it was superb in that, yeah. I loved that film.
Yeah. Okay, so... And Peter Capaldi, you know, he'll just swear at you until
you
cry. Yeah,
well, yeah, he's already played Malcolm Tucker.
Exactly. He'll just swear at you until you cry.
That's my Saturday night.
That's your Saturday night. Just Peter Capaldi comes around to your house and swears at you until you cry. Is it like an online service that you can sign up to?
Yes, it is. At the end, he asks you to donate to charity.
Yes.
Well, he doesn't ask, but...
Anyway, I suppose it's my turn. And to be honest, I've been watching a lot of things, but I think I'm going to have to return to The Flash, because it's weird how much you know, when you start watching something and you think, oh, this is okay, and then you think, this is great, and then you think it's okay, and then you think, that was awful. Then you think, I finished season one, started on season two, and now I'm partway up through season two. And I'm kind of losing interest a little bit.
Yeah, I felt like I've had a bit of a dip with like the Dr. Light episode.
Yeah, and it's just kind of, I'm starting to think, well, yeah, okay, he's a guy who runs fast and stuff like that. But the great thing about the first season was the fact that he was always trying to find the man in the yellow suit.
Yeah, and they just don't have anything as compelling as that in the second series.
Yeah, and it's weird because... the same thing happened with Arrow as well. He was on this mission for so long, and I don't understand how, after everybody found out that Oliver Queen is Arrow, how he didn't have any consequences for killing all those people in the first season.
Well, no, he did. It's like, the whole point was people found out he was the Arrow,
yeah.
Then he got arrested, but then Roy Harper said, no, wait, hold on, I'm the Arrow.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying, because people who knew he was the Arrow included the police detective.
Yeah, but he's not a good police detective.
Yeah, this is true. And his daughter, who was, working for the DA at the time?
Yeah, but she's an even worse lawyer.
Yeah, I know.
And she's generally a bad human being.
Yes, I know. But yeah, a Flash, it's exactly that. There is no kind of, I mean, the big bad from the other universe is just kind of the big bad from the other universe.
Yeah, plus he's a bit like Reverse Flash Light, isn't he?
Yeah. There's no actual impetus. I mean... The great thing about Reverse Flash was the fact that he actually hated Barry Allen. His whole, you know, the whole thing about him was that he hated Barry Allen. He wanted to kill Barry Allen. But then he found himself in a position where he had to make Barry Allen into the Flash, and actually helping him through that, he found that he actually did care about him a lot. He found a new family, but he still had a mission to fulfill. And he was torn between that and the, you know, when he was playing the role, the guy who was playing the role of the Doctor, you could see sometimes he was, you know, he was a little bit conflicted about you know, does he want to kill him or not?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's like, that's what made it such a great role, is you could kind of see there was always a little something behind the eyes.
Yeah. And I think that's what's missing, is that human, that humanization of the enemy, because they're just, it just isn't there. So it's just kind of this thing.
In the Flash's defense, though, I will say the bit where Zoom actually appears and fights the Flash for the first time.
Yeah.
That was a pretty awesome fight.
Oh God, yes, that was awesome. I'm not knocking the fights or anything like that. The effects work is just as good as it's always been. I'm not knocking any of that. It's just, and when it comes to the actual drama side, when it comes to the when it comes to that, it's just, it's nowhere near as good as the first season.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think I'm going to have to agree.
You know, it's nowhere near as good as the first season. That doesn't mean to say I'm going to drop it, because I am hopeful it's going to pick up again.
That's what I meant with the fight thing. It's just, there's still hope that things could pick up again.
Yeah, I'm still hopeful that things will pick up again. I'm just kind of, I'm treating this as kind of a dip in form rather than a reason to cancel, if that makes sense.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely.
It does make me a little bit worried about Daredevil, though, because Daredevil was up against Kingpin, and I know Kingpin escaped, but he's going to have to go into hiding for a little bit.
Yeah, plus to be fair, like, Daredevil also has Bullseye to fight.
Yes, he does.
And Bullseye is a freaking awesome villain.
Yes, he is. And Elektra's going to make an appearance, isn't she?
Yeah, and the Punisher.
Yes, the Punisher as well. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that one. Anyway, yes. So I've been watching The Flash. That's how I stand with The Flash right now. That sounds wrong. Anyway, yes, we are unfortunately at the end of the show. So we're going to love you and leave you there, and we're going to head back into the world of TV land, where we are officially couch potatoes and other types of root vegetables on couches.
Oh, of which there are many.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm a couch sweet potato.
You're a couch sweet potato.
Yes.
I always had you down as a couch radish.
Really?
Yeah. Because
I'm wearing a red hoodie, so I'll be the couch beetroot.
You can be the couch beetroot. You can be the couch radish, because it's just kind of, the reason I say the couch radish is because you kind of go red in the face, but the rest of you is white.
I don't quite know how to take that.
Well, Owen's been broken. That's all we've got time for this week. Thanks for listening, everyone.
Yes. Yes. Anyway, very quickly, before we go, if you want to get in touch with us, studio@thegeekshow.co.uk, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, Google+, my own mail list, DeviantArt, and various other places on the internet. You can support us by buying one of our lovely t-shirts from our shop, which is available on our website or on Facebook. And you can also support us by donating something. Just click on the donate button and give us however much you want, and it will all go back to helping us support our volunteers. So thank you, everybody, for listening. I've been Rob.
I've been Andrew.
I've been Owen.
And I've been Jordan.
We'll see you all next week.
Bye.